Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, official sponsor of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, we had an amazing, amazing night in Reading. So many people showed up, and the Phillies did not play this weekend. Right? That's all that happened. We just went to Reading, and that was the only thing that happened all weekend. It's all we're going to talk about, right?
That's all we should talk about. Oh. So I want to start this podcast off with maybe the most shameless thing I've ever said in the history of this show.
You have said some shameless things before. Ringthebellbook.com. Yeah, buy the book now. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, always buy the book. I actually ordered... I had to order 1,500 copies of it last week. So I had to, I had to go wire the money. I have never felt more like an adult in my entire life.
Oh yeah,
than wiring the money. I was like, wow,
Western Union or something.
Oh man, it was special. It was a really grown up thing to do.
I'm proud of you. Yeah.
So yes, please buy the book. We have extra copies. There's plenty of books.
Jack needs you to buy the book like desperately. Yes.
Plenty of books to go around. Listen, I know our download numbers.
That's
on this podcast.
Point. That's a good point.
There's a lot of people. I'm gonna start naming names. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're not allowed to listen to this podcast unless you buy the book, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We do this podcast for free for a million years.
I know.
The least you could do. I'll even give Seltzer a little bit. I'm not going to give Seltzer.
Yeah, there's no chance of that. That's good.
I'm feeding my kids water sandwiches. no. So the most shameless thing I think I've ever said and then will ever say on this podcast is I'm glad that weekend happened.
You can get yourself where you need to be mentally and emotionally better than anyone I've ever known. Like your ability to go from here to here, you know, and just find a way to get there and spin it. You're elite at it. Honestly, it's a real skill. Proud of you, buddy. So go ahead.
Never get too high. Never get too low.
Elaborate on why the, getting outscored, 25 to 10 or whatever it was this weekend was great.
Yeah. So one, they don't have the best record in baseball anymore. I realized the two podcasts ago when we said that they actually still had the best record in baseball.
We don't want that. Yeah, we're good.
So I'm glad they don't have the best record in baseball anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I did not
expect to stay. We like that. Yes.
I did not want to peak in May. I started waking up in the middle of the night thinking about, are the Phils peaking too early? And
well, after last year, it's a real concern. Yeah.
I know. And I mean, direct history is the scariest history, the one that just happened. So that, and I think it's very important as we are now. I mean, it's crazy. We're literally
June,
under 2 months.
It's June. How is it June right now?
We are under 2 months until the trade deadline. They need to make their holes obvious and the issues they have obvious. And I think that they were all on display this weekend. I mean, the bullpen clearly not where it needs to be. The lineup without Bryce, oh my goodness.
It's unbelievable.
And you go from
falls apart.
You go from Bryce in the lineup and you're like, this is a pretty deep lineup, to the second he's out of it being like, well, these guys are exposed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like these guys are all, dude, Boehm, whatever they just keep him down in the lineup every single time.
Never hit 3-4 ever again. Just nope.
Every single time that they put him back up there, I think he starts pressing, and you get a like Alec Bohm hitting 6-8. Fine. Just put him back there. Castellanos is like, he doesn't care where he hits, but he's not going to put extra pressure on himself batting at the top of the lineup. So I really, from the standpoint of a little bit of a humbling, needed that. I wanted a humbling. I didn't want to coast through the regular season. I needed the humbling. We got the humbling, and some of their flaws very, very prevalent this weekend. So overall, I'm happy that weekend happened.
Yeah, some would say that, you know, not getting too high, you know, reality check would have happened when they lost in the playoffs last year after the whole best record in baseball thing. You would think that same group and all that, but you know, we'll go with it being this weekend. Look, I'm fine with the concept of I'm with you. All the things you said about peaking at the right time and not wanting them to get too full of themselves. And honestly, I think the idea of Dave Dombrowski watching this team and the holes that we know have to be corrected and can be corrected or at least attempted to be corrected before the playoffs, that they are glaring and that it is impossible for Dave to ignore them or find a way around them or whatever. So I'm with all that, but man, I can't.
It wasn't good.
Look, you're right. Bryce leaves the lineup and all of a sudden it feels and looks much less deep, but we've also seen this group of guys, was it a couple years ago when Bryce gets the hand broken, like rally without Bryce Harper and play great baseball without him. And I just don't love that. Oh, Bryce is out. Well, we all stink now and no one's going to go about their business the same way. We're going to stop approaching hitting the way we were before. And who cares? Like they're not deep is the issue here. Like it's not a deep lineup. And if Schwarber goes, it feels like they're just done. Like it's over. Like they are that important to this team.
Yeah. And what was disappointing is that it almost felt like they went into this weekend and said, Bryce is out, I'm checked out. And that's how they played. I mean, even in the Lizardo start, I obviously didn't make my way all the way through it. That was
not going to rewatch that whole thing, though.
No. But even in that game, I mean, Castellanos drops a ball in right field that led to a double. There was a play after that should have been made. We all know the Trey play yesterday has to be made.
You could argue a lot. I mean, they still two innings to play, but it lost them the game. Like the Trey play yesterday actually lost them the baseball game.
Yeah, and it's a bummer from the standpoint of like he hadn't made an error in a month. I thought overall for Trey,
he'd been better.
He's been playing better defensively, and like that was a reset on the whole. Say he can't play shortstop, get him out. Like that's it was everyone came back. You know, they're all waiting in the weeds for that moment to happen. But yeah, it is funny. It feels like he can make some of the tougher
toughest
plays.
The
ones right at him are the coin flips, but
as a fan watching the game, we always talk about the 2020 bullpen, how you just see them come in and you're like, you know, you're in trouble and you don't have that feeling of comfort when you're watching a baseball game. There is nothing less comfortable or less enjoyable than a ground ball to the infield that you don't know if your infield's going to handle. Like it sucks. It really does. Like you're instinctual, like ground ball to shortstop. That's an out. Like instinctually we got it out. And to not feel that way is frustrating. It's really frustrating.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, again, Bohm's gotten better, but still it's not like you're over there. That's rolling. Trey coin flip. When we get Reese back, the first base is going to go back to being a
big weekend for Reese, huh? Yeah.
I will say, I was proud of the boos by the crowd on Saturday. Mm. They booed him after the second one, after heading into his third at bat. I think he laughed. I think he like stepped out and laughed for a second, which I also appreciate. The Brewers, you got to fall out of this thing. I need the big fella back in this lineup ASAP. So. But yeah, it was certainly a big day for Reese and a big weekend for Reese. Saturday, so I'm not too worried about Lizardo. I thought his fastball. This might sound like an excuse. Might sound like thought it was a little too windy.
No. I was wondering how excusey whatever you were going to say was going to sound. That was way more than I expected. I was not expecting Wendy. That's, you're really going for it, buddy.
Thank you. No, I think it's too windy. I thought this, it's pitching in the wind stinks. It yeah, does. Sure. Yeah. Your stuff flattens out. It does. I don't like pitching in the wind. So I think it was too windy. Now, there's a whole thing about leaving him in there.
Well, so that's what I was going to ask. I mean, that was honestly one of the bigger topics on the morning show today. Came up a lot. People are really angry that they left. And I know it was Topper slash Kalitri because Topper does get tossed prior to the extra runs giving up, all that. But I mean, and look, the Cy Young thing is, you know, it sucks from that perspective. But
oh yeah,
I mean, just in general, I mean, you want your players to be happy. You want your players to feel confident. There's a guy who's up for a contract after next season. I know teams aren't going to just look at the numbers and not look into how the numbers are, you know, put together. But I mean, like, Cy, that's money. He makes money if he wins the Cy Young. That helps him in contract. Oh, yeah. All these types of things. Yeah. Like, how did you feel? Because, I mean, look, I get that you're in a weird situation in that spot where if, you know, the game gets away from you and you know your bullpen is depleted and you want to see how much you can get out of your... I mean, we see it with Nola a lot, right? I mean, Nola's the king of giving up, like, six runs in the first two innings and then just battling through six for him to save the pen a bit. So I understand, like, wanting to get that from Lizardo. But, I mean, what, first time since the 1930s or something a Phillies pitcher gave up 12 earned runs? I mean, it feels like at a certain point, I mean, you got to save your guy. What was your thought on that whole thing? Because it's been a big topic.
Well, and I think the Phillies are upset with it, too, because I think that's why Abel's starting on Tuesday. And I think it's as simple as that. I think it forced their hand because they know that the pen is depleted. They don't have anyone that can give them length out of the bullpen right now. So I think it totally forced their hand to put Taiwan back in the bullpen so that if that situation happens again, then they have someone there. So I think they got caught with their pants down a little bit, like, you know, that to where all of a sudden a guy has to wear it and it is a tough balance.
He wore it.
He had to wear it. You know, he had to wear it. Now, what was it like?
Which 70s? Is the thing. Like when we were growing up, or certainly when I was growing up, like guys wearing it was a thing, you know, that was part of the game, you know, hey, listen, not your day, but get us through some innings and stuff. But it doesn't seem like that happens as much anymore, A, and B, with a guy like Lizardo and the season he's having, it's just, it was frustrating.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was only 76 pitches. No, it's not true. Like they asked
no him. I know. I don't think they hurt his arm or anything. Like, it's strictly...
It's the principle, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And protecting your guy. But also... Yeah.
And making your guy happy and all the stuff, you know?
Yeah, but also, I think Lizardo also probably understands it too, and he wants to help the team as well.
I agree.
I feel like there's a lot of speaking for Lizardo in what people are saying about this. I mean, it's clear Mike Kalitri, can he handle a bullpen? Do we got to get Mike Kalitri out of here?
Do we need a new backup manager in case Rob gets tossed? Yeah.
Yeah, that's guy. I don't know if he's got it. No, but it really did stink though, because Lizardo's been so good, and I hope that at the end of the year, the Cy Young voters can just take out that one start and he could be. And I mean, it's unfortunately, it's going to affect his arbitration number. It could.
Well, that kind of stuff is what I'm talking about. Is arbitration, like all that stuff matters, you know?
So. Yeah. So it stinks. But I also think he was upset. Well, he unraveled after the balk and
which
wasn't
but
able
that
to.
Was a whole. And I get why Topper argued. I mean, that it's weird for a third base to call a balk on a left handed pitcher like that. I don't know that I've ever seen that play out that way.
Yeah, so a couple thoughts on it. One, I did think it was a balk. I thought that he was moving towards home plate, and I thought he crossed the threshold.
Yeah,
that's not his call. That's not third base umpire.
It's not his call. That's the point. Like, it's not his call.
And the second thing, I mean, first off, not his call. Second off, absolute amateur hour, not throwing Rob Thompson out and making Rob Thompson go beg Dan Iosone to throw him out of the
please toss me.
Yeah, because he looks like an idiot out there, you know?
I know. He's like, I went out to get tossed. That was the whole point of this. Like, that's why I'm doing this.
I was watching, so I went back and rewatched him getting tossed. And it just made me love baseball all over again. It's such a little thing that you got to, like, know the game and pay attention to. But him having to go argue with the younger third base umpire, the third base umpire not grasping the situation and not throwing him out of the baseball game, him having to go talk to the crew chief, basically whispered in his ear. If you just watch it, he got really close to him.
I wouldn't be shocked if he said, toss me. Like, I wouldn't be shocked.
Of course.
Honestly. Of course. Yeah.
And then I was thinking about the idea of a manager getting thrown out of a baseball game is so stupid.
Oh, it's so fun. It's such a fun
it's
thing.
It's the best. It's the best.
Just the symbol, like, get out of here. Like, it's just fun. It's a fun thing. Now it's less fun.
Everyone's acting.
Yeah.
Everyone's just acting. They look like paid actors when they get thrown out of the games. The umpire plays it up. The umpire's like, you say it one like more time.
It becomes WWE for a minute, which is great. Yeah, it's super fun.
The Roman Empire, everyone in the crowd's like, get him out of here. And then the Thompson standing ovation as he's going, hey, everyone's in on it. Everyone's in on the act. Everyone's in. It's so good. And I don't know if there's anything that the players get. Like, I don't know if there's any juice they get out of it, to be frank.
We think there is, but it certainly didn't seem like it worked much on Saturday, right? That didn't get them going.
Hold on. Yeah. They got to within 10.
You're right. They did. Run differential, that was big. You know, from 17
that was huge.
To 17 to 10 or 7 or whatever was nice. Yeah.
Huge for the run differential. You appreciate that. We appreciate that on this show. We're run differential people.
We are. We do care about such things. Yeah.
You know what's funny?
I hate it.
Speaking of the run differential, so obviously when I first started following, or back in the day with the Phillies growing up, I didn't know anything about run differential. I was just watching the games, having a good time, you know?
Like an idiot.
And then when we started this podcast and the Phillies sucked, obviously was not paying attention to the run differential. I didn't know, like, I didn't grasp the run differential thing really until like 19, when it was like, well, they're definitely fraudulent, but they're in first place and the run differential was in the negatives. Uh-huh. And now it's like, oh, if you have a one of the best run differentials in the game, it just matters. But me being the young, I didn't care. And now I really care a lot. It matters a ton.
Yeah, the numbers have borne it out. Like they match up. You know, if you're one of the best run differential teams, usually win the playoffs, usually the team that wins it all, like all that. End of the point, and I hate to bring it up, but the fact that it was a stat for a reason, the Diamondbacks team that we lost to, there's a reason that only two teams in the history of baseball have ever made it to World Series with a negative run differential, because you're usually not good. Sorry to bring up the Diamondbacks thing.
It's fair though. It's fair. Oh man. And by the way, they're not playing. The Diamondbacks are not playing very well.
They got Corbin Burns too. Yeah.
The Corbin Burns thing. Brutal.
That sucked. Especially because you can see on the video with him going, it's my elbow.
Immediately.
And you know, like, it's one of those things, I think, like, you know, jumping sports, but like the N'Kobe Dean injury recently, like in the moment, he knew and you knew that it was really bad. You know, sometimes you could just, you could tell that the player knows, like, not great, except for Bryce Harper, who always acts like it's the worst injury that's ever happened in the history of time.
Well, I hope he's, I'm a little worried that he.
Yeah, let's get into Bryce.
A little worried he's rushing back because of what happened over the weekend. I hope he's fine. I hope he's all good. I hope that, but my fear is that he's not 100% back and he's going to make some adjustments to his swing or something and try to overcompensate. And he's coming back. I mean, what was it last year? Last year, where he rushed back from the hamstring or whatever he was dealing with, and then sprinted up the first baseline, and it was like, "What are we doing?" This is what he. I mean, there's certainly a little bit of fear with me.
He always Tommy John. He came. It was like a month and a half, 2 months before everyone thought he was going to come back. I mean, he always rushes back.
Yeah, so I'm a little worried about it from that standpoint. I just have a fear. It's not just this. Like swelling. I mean, he got hit Wednesday or whatever. So I hope it's not. I hope there's nothing structural going on.
Tuesday, maybe, right?
Yeah. Was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Because it was Tuesday because it got rained out Wednesday. Yeah. And they played two games Thursday.
It was Tuesday.
That's just a hit by pitch. Yeah. You know. And that's my fear is, are they dealing with something structural here? And is he rushing back from that? That's really my biggest fear. But I'm glad he's in the lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, or they expect him to be at least.
Expect him to be in the lineup.
Yeah, and look, I think everyone should expect him to struggle at first. I feel like he's never come back from an injury and hit right away. I mean, he's always the timing thing and all that. I feel like every single time. So I wouldn't expect him to come back and jump right back to where he was. But, you know, well, hopefully and
my big fear too is about the power. I mean, is he going to be able to drive the baseball? He's already having some trouble doing that so far this year and at the end of last year. Now with this on top of it, I mean, is he going to be able to drive it? I think seeing what kind of power he has immediately coming back from this injury is going to be a big tell as to how healthy he is.
Yeah, and that's huge. I mean, and look, that's the scary thing with Bryce. I mean, Bryce is going to be 33 in October, which feels crazy to even say, but we are at the point when I think Bryce is such a smart baseball player and such a good hitter that I do think he can, as a hitter, age well in terms of average and getting on base and doing all that type of stuff. I think he should age pretty well, assuming the back stays healthy and all that. But the power, I mean, that there is going to be a time where that declines. Like, it's just going to it. The swing, the way he does it, like, at a certain point, he's not going to hit 35 homers, 30 plus homers in a year. And like, it's always the concern that when these things happen, that it's just one more notch off the, like think about it, like, in the terms of like, how many home run swings does Bryce Harper have in his body? You know what I mean? And it's like, it feels like, you know, with every little nick and every thing to elbow and everything that could hamper it, it's like, are we losing Bryce Harper home runs? Is this like, you know, we're kind of hurtling towards the end of it, you know?
Well, yeah. And we might be in the middle of it. I mean, yeah, the power numbers have not been great since mid-July of last year. Now, he's been productive because he can still usually hit for a high average and he can still drive the ball in the gaps. But I mean, it's like 500 home runs is sadly not a lock.
Remember I said to you last time, like, I do think, like, I've thought about it more. I think Kyle Schwarber is a more likely person to get to 500 than Harper, even though he's behind him.
Good. Yeah. I mean, because Schwarber just has that easy power. Feels like I just Bryce think he's going to work
exactly
for it.
Like, yeah. with the wrist, the arm strength and like how quick his wrists are. I just feel like he's like his floor for homers, even if he ages, especially as a DH, which will be his whole career. Like, I just feel like he's going to age better as a home run hitter.
Yeah. So again, I think power wise, the big thing I'm looking for, because if it's more than just swelling, then, you know, maybe we're getting a compromised version of Bryce. And just like, every single year, it feels like he gets hit and has to miss.
I
time.
Know, dude.
And it just sucks.
I know.
Dude.
The face, I mean, and the wrist and the this and the that. It's like, enough, man. Like, enough.
We stop hitting Bryce Harper. Please stop hitting Bryce Harper.
Like, come just, on, man.
We're getting robbed. We're getting robbed of brilliance because these guys want to pitch inside to him. It stinks. But I'm glad he's in the lineup tomorrow. Yeah. And I'm glad that Abel's there, baby. We got Nick back up.
We got Nick.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's huge. I want to get to Mick in a sec. One thing on the power before we move to Mick. Like, overall, like, as a team heading into the playoffs, and look, with this small ball, they're better at that and all that. But, you know, outside of Schwarber, I mean, we're seeing really declines across the board in power. I mean, Castellanos, not as much power. Boehm, clearly not as much power. Stott is not hitting for power. Turner is not, I mean, he's fine, but not like, you know, he's 25 homer power. Like, are you at all a little concerned about that, especially come October? And look, Reese, if they trade for Reese, that would be part of that.
Reese.
But I mean, I'm a little concerned. I mean, Kepler's not hitting the ball out of the yard. Like, I'm a little concerned about the lag. I mean, again, I like small ball, but homers win.
Oh, yeah. No, you need to have the ability to exit the ballpark. Now, this might be more shameless than the beginning of the podcast.
I love that smile. So if you're not, again, if you see that video of this, we'll put it on YouTube. If you see on YouTube, Jack just did the all-time, like, I'm about to say something smile.
It's been cold, man. It's been...
It ain't hitting season, man. This ain't hitting season.
Dude, I'm still wearing a hoodie, by the way. Shout out to the Fightin' Phils. Got this for the game.
It's a great hoodie.
Unbelievable.
They have awesome merch. Awesome. Like, really awesome.
Love
the
team store.
New R that they're doing with, like, the old school Phillies P, like those maroon uniform P's with the R is so cool. Like, I can't believe that they didn't do that before. It's so cool.
Well, I actually like this. I like this app.
Yeah, I like that one.
I think that's a good logo. I mean, yeah, I'm wearing a hoodie on June 2nd. It's 55
you.
Degrees.
Yeah,
so, it's been a little cold, but at the same time, I think Kepler's going to find his power stroke here soon. I think he started to do a little bit better job from that standpoint. But all those guys kind of, I mean, they might all end up with 15 to 20, but that's kind of where they've been, you know?
Yeah,
but
I think you were hoping for 25 to 30 from these guys. Like, I mean, I know you're not expecting Cassie at 30, but you're hoping for 25 for Cassie.
Yeah,
Kepler comes in and it's 25 home runs. As everyday player, you know, 25 home runs from Kepler, you know? So, and I think it's more, to your point, 15 to 20 type stuff. So I agree with you. I think they're fine home run, but they're all kind of, other than Schwarber, below that mark that I would have guessed heading into this.
Yeah, and I guess my saving grace in the postseason is, while they might not be all launching home runs, I think they all can hit a home run.
Yeah, and have in the postseason, a lot of these guys. I mean, you know, we was talking about it today. It's so funny with Castellanos, where it's like, he was like, you know, we forget it because the way the season ended with the Diamondbacks and all that, like, Nick Castellanos did something no one in the history of the sport has ever done. He's the only guy, two multi-homer games in a row in the playoffs. Like, he is, you know, and then at the next day, like, Castellanos had five home runs in three playoff games. Like, to your point, you know, Bryce, obviously when the playoffs start, has hit a ton of home runs. Like, they can do it. It just does feel like this year it's muted more than in past years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, the reality is that we're watching an offense that's getting older. I mean, they are, and you just hope that when the playoffs start and when the lights are brightest, that they're going to rely on the experience that they've had over the last couple of years, and they'll find their power stroke in some way. But that's why when they continue to say that they're built to slug, I get they're not. I mean, mm-hmm. I think they should be better at being gap to gap, which is slug. You know, getting doubles and damn near triples. They are certainly a singles oriented team right now. But yeah, I guess I feel the power thing certainly in the regular season, but my glass half full is like, I would rather have this and then the occasional home run in the postseason rather than relying on the home run in the postseason.
I agree with that. Yeah.
But definitely, I mean, dude, they're gonna need a bat. I know we talk about the bullpen all the time. It's clear, it's evident. I don't think Taiwan's the solution. I think the solution might be internal. But like, getting another real bat, whether it's Reese, which would be fun, of course, or another first baseman. Like, Ryan O'Hearn is really fascinating, but it's another lefty. I don't think another lefty, but he's having a great year, and the Orioles are currently, by the way, talk about
disaster. Oh my God.
Holy
dude.
Cow. I mean, I believe we said on this podcast we would change places with the Orioles.
We sure did. I mean, like, all that time. Well, when they were bringing up, like, Gunnar kicking ass, they bring up Jackson Holliday, Adley, and they got, like, and all these guys, and like, just dude after dude after dude. And then it's like all falls apart.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No pitching.
You got to develop
pitching.
Yes.
It's important. Yeah.
Chris Tillman still can't be your best pitcher of his last 15 years. And Chris Tillman was about as average as they come. So, yeah. Yeah. So, not to make this into an Orioles podcast, would never do it. But, like, I actually totally forget what I was going to say. So,
you were talking about Ryan O'Hearn as an interesting name. And all
oh,
that.
Yes. Ryan O'Hearn.
They need to get a bat, too.
And I know Ben Davis brought this up. I think we probably brought this up. It's where, like, the idea of trading Ranger at the deadline, because you have such a surplus of starting pitchers, if you can trade him for a bat, again, I'm not looking to run Ranger out of town. This is all dependent upon health. But people forget, and you can read this in ringthebellbook.com, is heading into the 10 deadline, you know, there was a whole plan to trade Jason Wirth and bring up Don Brown. And that's in the middle of the 2010 Phillies, who were, like, also had a World Series aspirations.
And they had just won. They've been to playoffs. This was going to be their fourth year in a row, the whole thing. Yeah.
And then someone got hurt. I think someone got hurt, and it forced them to keep Worth, so they didn't make a move, and then bring Don Brown up. And
sure,
you know, they were going to go with Don Brown to end the season,
wild.
I believe.
That is wild to think about.
And then he was ridiculous in 10. He had the 30 plus home runs.
Yeah.
huge postseason that year. So, obviously not enough. I'm well aware they lost the Giants, but, yeah. So I think maybe that's a way they can get creative at the trade deadline. I know it's been a disappointment. These Dave Dombrowski,
to say the least. Yes.
But I'm excited for this trade deadline. There's a lot of interesting moving parts here, and how they kind of configure the rest of this roster is going to be fascinating, because it's like in the past couple of years, they were pretty set on what they needed. And it's not that this team isn't set, but they finally have some prospects they feel like they can move. They could move a starting pitcher if they wanted. They could move a starting pitcher to the bullpen. Now, this is not just Taiwan, I'm talking about someone else. Like there's some roster things that they have to get right here that are going to be fascinating to watch unfold.
Yeah, and to your point, look, it's been horrible at the trade deadline, Dombrowski, since he's been here. But we do know that in the past, in Major League Baseball, Dave Dombrowski has made some unbelievable trade deadline trades and just trades in general. And on top of that, it's a unique spot for him where if he nails it this trade deadline, no one will talk about the others. Like, he has a chance to totally change this part of his legacy here in Philly, where, you know, I think most people think that he's done a good job here. We talk a lot about the behind the scenes stuff that he's done that matters. And I think the roster, obviously he's had some hits and misses, but overall has done a nice job. But I think the biggest knock against Dombrowski on his, you know, in his Phillies tenure has been the disastrous trade deadline moves that he's had and has not helped the team at all. If he can nail this trade deadline and bring in, you know, a bullpen arm and a bat that makes a difference, no one will care about the other ones. Like, he really can completely and totally change that part of his legacy with just one great trade deadline.
Yep. But at the same time, there are untouchables that I that I don't want to move.
The core five or four plus.
Four and a half. Yeah. So that's exactly. Again, that's the song and dance that he has to do with the trade deadline. Yeah, you have to make the team better, but you can't give up those four. So
it's massive. It's a really
good luck.
You're right. It's an interesting, like, it does feel like it could go in a lot more different ways than in years past. You're totally right. Yeah, and he has to do stuff. Like, he has to. This is not a, he made one move. Like, that's not going to cut it this year. Like, it won't.
Does he take a big swing on a Luis Robert and try to see if he bounces back in a different organization? I don't know. There's just, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Come on, Davey. Come on, Davey. Come on, Davey.
All right.
You got us.
Mick. And also the Taiwan as a quote unquote leverage guy or whatever they're going to do in the pen with him. The whole thing, the Mick starting on Tuesday, the Taiwan to the bullpen, the general situation.
Yeah. So I think, again, I thought the Lizardo start made it obvious they had to do it. Yeah. And Abel's obviously pitching so well. The old adage is that the prospect will let you know when he's ready. He's letting them know he's ready. Mm-hmm. Also, Otto Kemp is letting them know that he's ready too, but I don't know if they have anywhere to put him.
Maybe they could have IL'd Harper right away when he got hurt and brought Kemp up, but whatever. Never
could. We'll see.
They could have, right? Put Bohm at first, give him some shots at third instead of. So, I mean, that would have made
Kemp,
it. Yeah, or left field. Third. But either way, the point is like that could have made sense, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Saturday made it obvious they need someone that can, because Joe Ross is, I would trust more leverage spots. So maybe they're just kind of putting Taiwan on the Joe Ross spot and then Joe Ross moving towards the back of the bullpen and maybe some more high leverage innings, which also is worrisome as well. But it just is. And then, Abel's obviously pitching so well. I think Abel is actually pitching so well that he could be changing their plan with him.
They might want to keep him because he's been so good.
He's been so good. And now, obviously, if there's someone out there that makes a lot of sense, I think they'd still move him. But I also think that
it's also increasing his trade value, too, by doing all
totally,
this.
Totally. Totally. And I do think that I think that he would move to the bullpen probably after the trade deadline. There's no reason to do it. Well, there could be a reason to do it now if it gets to be too much of a disaster.
Well, I think you only move him if you are for sure you're not trading him. If you're like, all right, we want to keep him, we're going to move him to the bullpen, he's not getting traded. Because if you want to trade him, there's no reason to take him out, keep starting games, you know, keep that value.
Yeah, totally. So that's one to definitely monitor. But I think he is legitimately pitching so well and that they're like, well, we don't have to trade a 23-year-old with this kind of stuff for what like a Carlos Estevez type. You know, we don't. If they do that, I would be.
Oh, I'll be furious.
Furious.
Yeah, even, I can't do it.
Even.
What if it's an elite guy? That's what I was about to say. What if it's a real deal? Shut it down. End of the bullpen guy who obviously contract coming up. You can't. You'll keep like we're not talking to someone who's under control like Mason Miller. So that's a different discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Like for a guy like Helsley, he's a free agent at the end of the year, I believe, right? Or is it one more year or something?
No, it's free agent at the end of the year.
That's what I thought. Like, what about a guy who, you know, again, or what if it's like a Helsley but has another year? Like, where's your line with this and the type of pitcher and the type of line? Because Ryan Helsley is the type of guy who we could look back and say, oh, they won the World Series because they traded for Ryan Helsley. Like, he could make that kind of difference, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Not for a guy with only a year left. I wouldn't trade Abel for him. Now, Felix Bautista, I'd probably have to think for a long time about it. Obviously, wouldn't do it for like Kenley Jansen. Chapman.
Yeah,
Chapman feels like a Philly.
If I had to bet on one person getting traded to Phillies, it's Chapman, like by miles. Yes,
he's actually had a good year too.
He's been good. Look, off the field stuff aside, like as a pitcher, you know, he's held up pretty well. He's been pretty good the last years. He still throws 104, whatever the hell it is. Like he's still got a live arm. Like he's a lot better than what they have for the most part.
And he'd be a damn good Alvarado replacement. I mean,
and he's pitching the playoffs. He's done all that stuff, you know, so
he's got a little Kimbrel in the postseason. Little Kimbrel.
So I don't know the numbers. I just know that he's been in the postseason. Yeah. So,
He had obviously was the Cubs closer in 16, and Joe Maddon like almost ran him in the ground. But I mean, Altuve had the big home run off him with the Yankees. Now that was the game that he ripped his shirt off and went straight into the dugout and then came out. But there's the Chapman face when he allows a big home run in the postseason. It's been a thing before. So a little bit of that. I think he was on the mound in the Red Series in 11, in
really?
10,
in 10,
in 10
be,
yeah. when the ball got lost in the lights by Jay Bruce.
Really?
I think that was Chapman.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean,
that was
make sense. Yeah. Timing wise.
Reading articles about like it was so the Chapman hype was unbelievable. Like this guy throws 104. Yeah. I think didn't Kratzy hit a walk-off home run against him in 11 or 12?
It sounds very familiar. Like that's how I think so.
It was either Kratzy or Franzen. I think it was Kratzy. If it was Franzen, I apologize, Kevin. I love you dearly. But one of those
guys.
Don't worry,
Kevin's not tuning in for the 35 minutes of no pod.
He should. But Chapman, I wouldn't trade him for like a Chapman type. I wouldn't trade him for a Jansen type. I wouldn't trade him for Bednar. But if you can get, and I wouldn't trade for Helsley only because Helsley only has a year left. Now, I guess if you wanted to sign to a contract extension, okay, maybe. But I think, I don't know if I believe this. Like, it's kind of just a thought that I was thinking during this. I think I might rather trade Ranger than trade Abel.
Wow. So obviously Ranger coming up, you assume they're not going to sign him. That's part of the reason you get rid of him. And look, I do think that even though he is an expiring contract to use a basketball term or whatever, but even though he's, you know, only got the rest of the year left, I do think you could get a nice return for Ranger. The issue with that is that it's kind of the, you know, teams are usually looking to trade prospects for a player or whatever it is. You're in a situation where a team trading for Ranger in this situation would be a team that is competing. So you're kind of, you'd have to find a team that with an extra bullpen guy that they can get rid of or whatever. So it's a little bit harder to match up a Ranger trade. But I do think that, you know, for a contending team who needs a starter, I mean, what a move would be to go get Ranger. Like, that'd be an awesome move if I'm another team.
Yeah. And I mean, even the Orioles are probably going to be out of it. But if you want to put, I mean, Ranger on that team would give
make
them
a difference.
A nice boost.
Not,
but they
not probably. They will be out of it. But yeah.
Yes. And they wouldn't want to trade Felix Bautista for him. So I don't know. It's just, it's going to be fascinating. But the idea of trading Ranger, if everyone's healthy, Painter comes up and looks good, Abel comes in the rotation and shoves, great. And they just might have a surplus and they might be able to make the team better. So, but again, there's a lot of factors that have to go into that, but it's exciting. And Abel, you're not going to face the Pirates every single time out. So I'll be curious how tomorrow.
Toronto is a better lineup than, you know, they're not a great team, but they're a significantly better team than the Pirates. It'll be interesting to see that.
And he's going to have to. I thought last time he was really predictable with his stuff. Like you could feel first pitch fastball coming, and then guys started sitting on it, and that's when he started getting hit around just a bit. He's gonna have to not be as predictable as he goes through some of these major league lineups.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, if he was predictable and still had that outing, that's a good sign. All right, anything else from the weekend before we get to take bag and ratting and all that good stuff?
No, I don't.
Oh, really. Seth Johnson, real quick. I'm sure he'll be in the take bag, but I give you a moment to talk about Sethy getting called up.
Yeah, it's big stuff. It's big stuff. So Seth Johnson, he has been up to 99 recently. I think he has 100 in the tank. I think he's approaching 100, which is exciting. The command isn't fantastic with that, but when you throw that hard, it certainly helps. It's different than when you're starting and can you just air it out for an inning. His slider last year, I remember that Marlins start, was unusable. I think they made some adjustments with that pitch to make it more of a weapon. And then I think he added like a kick changeup. I'm all in on the kick changeup. I think it's it's such a weird pitch. I think it's just like you just knuckle it. So you put your knuckle on it. It's like, you know, it's almost like your knuckle curveball. Mm-hmm. But I think it's your middle finger you put on it. And it basically just moves like a splitter. But the kick changeup is going to be the next sweeper, it feels like. Everyone's going to be throwing a kick changeup
Why is it called a kick changeup? What's the kick all about?
I think it's because you knuckle
it. If you would think legs, something to do with legs, but it's not. It's a, you know. Yeah.
It's a kick change. Kick change.
You would think it's like a knuckle change would make sense.
I know.
Sure. Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know who decided what to call anything. Like, who decided it was a sweeper? Why? It's just a slurve. I mean, that's all it is. It's just a slurve. Yeah. So, but yeah, I was glad. I understood why Romano pitched yesterday because Romano hadn't really worked in a couple days. But I was all in on wanting to see what reliever Seth Johnson looked like. So that was disappointing, but maybe this weekend in Toronto.
Let's go this week. Yeah. This week in Toronto.
This week.
Jumping to the weekend. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was actually thinking in the middle of that of all the pitchers that I've been excited about that have gone up there and gotten shelled. Oh,
I wish we could put a list together. I mean, just the names. It'd be a real who's who.
Yeah. Well, Eflin made his major league debut in Toronto and got shelled. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember Pivetta on my wedding day in Toronto. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Got shelled. I mean, it's hard not to be romantic about baseball when Nick Pivetta, on the biggest day of your life at that point, got shelled up in Toronto.
That's right. Well,
it's good stuff.
Yeah, you know, could have been a sign. You know,
Could have been a sign.
The wedding, about Nick.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the take back.
All right. So not much. One thing that I've seen that everyone who hates the Phillies can't wait to point out is their record against
bad job by me. We should have talked about this before take back. It's just because obviously I'm not putting that much stock in it. I didn't bring it up, but I do think that, you know, if people are going to criticize the Phillies, I think it is fair to bring that up. I don't think it is a sign of something, a disaster with the team, but I do think that it is a fair criticism to bring up when you look at how great they've been against the bad teams and mediocre against good teams.
So I don't think it's that fair.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And here is my spin.
Love it.
If we all agree that they've played better baseball after the Mets sweep, right? We can all agree on that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. So they lost three there.
At least until this past weekend. But yes.
Yes. And then they had the they had the Cardinals series before that, which for some reason the Cardinals just give this team a problem this year. I don't know why, but whatever. They are technically over 500. So you had those two series before that. I guess we can pretend that the Braves and Diamondbacks stink, right? You know, because they're not technically over 500.
I like that. That's a good way to look at it. You're right.
So yeah. I guess we're going to do this thing where no one's afraid of the Braves and the Diamondbacks, they don't worry anyone. So they took 2 or 3 from them. They took 2 or 3 from the Guardians. The Rays, everyone pretends that they stink too. I think they might be back over 500, but when they played them, they
might be just under, but they're close.
So they swept them, but that doesn't count because of the 500 thing. They were 8-5 heading into this.
This is really good.
Well, it's just annoying. Like they've played good against good teams this year. They haven't just beaten up on tomato cans. They were 8-5 against teams that were 500 since the Mets series heading into this weekend. And they had a bad weekend against a pretty good Brewers team that was under 500, you know, last week. So that would have been playing bad against a team under 500.
I think you're right. Yeah, that's funny.
I think it's nonsense. I really do. It's something that the people can't wait to bring up because the detractors can't wait to say I told you so, and they ran it back and same team, blah 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 blah. But I think they've had really good series wins over good teams. They went on a stretch there of playing garbage totally. Pirates and they took a series in Wrigley. They went 2-3 in Wrigley and 2-3 in Cleveland.
There you go.
Like, can we stop? Gosh, just take a chill pill.
That was good.
Thank you.
I'm with you. Look, I don't. Baseball's baseball. Yeah,
baseball's baseball.
You're gonna face some bad teams.
The Mets play the Rockies this weekend.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's also, by the way, 9-50. Wow.
Like Scottie Scheffler, more.
Wow.
Wins than
I saw.
Yeah, in the last month than the Rockies.
I think it's the same number. I think
it's the same number,
three wins. Yeah. But look, how many times have we heard people, the Marlins thing for years, we know that, where people are like, oh, they can't handle business against the bad teams. Good teams go out and beat the teams they're supposed to. But then, like, you beat the teams you're supposed to. They can only beat bad. It feels like one of those, you know, they're going to spin it however they're going
to
spin.
Yeah, whatever it takes to try to act like smart. It's the fakest smart thing to do is bring up their record under 500.
And it's just, I think of all sport, I mean, basketball kind of now because so many players don't play. So it doesn't, like, you don't really know what a game means in the regular season. If you beat a team, did we beat a good team if their two best players didn't play and all that type of stuff. But I think other than that situation, I think there is no, like, more, like, in regular season of sports, I don't think there is any other sport where who you beat is not necessarily dependent on the team you're playing each day. Like, all you need is a good starting pitcher. There you go. Well, you can lose a baseball game. You know, it's so, all you need is your guys to just not be locked in by 5% one day. And, you know, it's just, and it's every day. So I don't put much into it at all.
Well, and they didn't have Bryce this weekend. Like,
that too. I mean, another good point. Yeah.
They didn't have Bryce, you know? So, whatever. But, our good friend John Marin, I want to make sure we brought this up. He wants me to correct.
Yes. Yes. Shout out to John. He said to me,
very intense,
three separate times, he was like, I need you to make sure this happens. And it turns out you didn't need me to, because Jack took care of it himself. So we're good, John.
Yeah.
But I actually agree with John on his point where this is going. He is correct about this. Like, it was underplayed. Go ahead.
I actually don't think he's correct, he's very intense about it. First thing he said, he didn't even say hi. I don't think.
I think the first thing he said to me, yeah. When something said, happened, never happened in baseball before. It can't be and not in the top 10 of moments. So he was upset.
So when we talked about
Yes.
So we talked about JT and the inside the park home run and how it didn't feel like a top 10 moment of that run. John very upset that was the first time a catcher had ever done that in the history of the postseason. And we just downplayed it like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. So our apologies. We will continue to try to be better.
I said it was super fun in the moment. I was trying to hype it up.
It was fun.
Shot it down very quickly. So, you know,
it was, are we in the business of fun, or are we in the business of winning? You know what I mean? So
help win, you know,
I know. Well, sort of. I mean,
they won that game. They won that series. Like, you know, come on.
But the Marsh home run was a bigger deal anyway. But yes, yes. So Reading was great, though. Reading was a lot of fun. I'm sorry that it rained and Seltzer left early and he bounced his first pitch.
So here, let's just talk about it. I have like a zillion excuses lined up. First and foremost, you like whipped it at this. So we had a kid catching for us. You whip it at him. It goes like right like under his legs. He's got this look of fear on his face, but no excuses. I got tentative. I saw the kid and I just went super soft. Here's what I will say, though. I will say, for being real about it, if there were a runner on third base, your pitch, the run scores. My pitch, the run doesn't score. So only one of our pitches was a wild pitch, technically, or, you know, pass ball, wild pitch, we'll see. But I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't know why I decided to throw it that hard.
I couldn't believe it. And he had fear in his eyes when I got there. I'm like, oh, God, this kid, he looks terrified. I know.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think it's because we maybe just talked to Aiden. I was all amped
all
up,
juiced up. Yeah.
I was on the mound. I was on a baseball field again, so I had some of the juices were flowing. Mm-hmm. In my head that moved like a Derek Lowe sinker. I mean, it was.
I know you were all night talking about, dude. That's some cut on it, man. That was good.
That was some sink. That was some serious sink with it.
Yeah, the kid's gonna be singing his nightmares.
His life flashed before his eyes. So yeah, I know. I felt bad.
I know. Yeah.
So they didn't know what they were dealing with. They didn't know that this could have, they didn't listen to the podcast where I discussed that maybe today's the day after 92.
Not just the podcast. You said it to Aiden, but yeah, no big deal. We see Aiden on the field for Jack's like, could be the day I can get a contract. Like,
could be the day. I'll be your teammate soon.
Shout out to Aiden though. Like, dude, that guy, he is what a dude, man. I can't believe he's 20. I know he's going to turn 21 in a few days. I think it's this week or next week. But he does not act like a 20-year-old. He does not seem like a 20-year-old. He is so mature and so buttoned up. Just even talking to him, like, he is confident, cool. Like, I'm honestly also a way better defensive player than I thought at short. Like, he made a couple plays where he was picking it. I was like, damn, dude. Ripped a double in his first at bat, like a hard hit ball.
That was huge.
So impressive. Like, he looks the part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So and you ducked out.
Oh, let me address that. I'm still married. All right. Let's just say it that way. Jack had his entire family there. So it's like in-laws and his parents could drive Jill and the kids home so Jack could stay in his car. I did not have that option. I had a wife and a kid who we were an hour and a half away from Philly, and they were like, I'm freezing cold. It's wet. I need you to leave this game. So, mistake.
Yeah, I brought the cavalry. It was good.
The whole crew. It was great.
Well, my mom's like, all of a sudden, my mom heard I was throwing out the first pitch or whatever, and she's like, oh, I get to relive my glory days of watching you play.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so again,
and
I think
Jill's,
she thought I was playing.
Like the nicest, Steve, like the nicest guy. They're just such nice people, like nice humans, you know?
Yes. So I had everyone there. But after the game, so like, it's now people did leave early. Don't blame you at all. The sickos that stayed around.
It was so, no joke. It said it was not going to rain. We were like, oh, it's just going to be a little chilly, but it's not going to rain. It rained the entire game, start to finish. There was like a 3-minute window, I feel like, where it stopped drizzling for a sec. It was like the grossest day you could be out to watch a baseball game possible.
Yeah. And people said
it was like as close as you get to get rained out, but they played.
Yeah. So the people stayed around, appreciate you. And then we went down behind the dugout, and like Aiden came still on the field, but was and like, we're gonna take a group photo or whatever. And then he's like, he made the mistake of, can I just go into the stands? And and all of a sudden, all the kids came running down, and he unfortunately had to like turn someone away. But whatever. So he's walking through, and he gets over to our group, and we try to take a photo amongst all these people. But just a great dude. I mean, an absolutely great dude, impossible not to root for. And I Couldn't be more impressed. He's a great dude. So
yeah,
shout out to Aiden. For those who stayed around, they got the photo with him. Next time when we go to Lehigh Valley, the third time's a charm.
We know how to do this right. Yeah.
We're gonna get it right. We're gonna get it right on the Aiden Miller road to the show. The road to the show. By the way, last 16 games, OPS over like 900, hitting over 300. So the kid's figuring out double A a little bit.
Quick question for you on that one. Cause I know double A box scores and stuff. That stuff's out there. Like you can get every box score for every game. Pretty sure you can't just get the 16 game stats super easy. Are you like compiling that, or did someone tweet that out or something?
Oh no, I mean it's all on Baseball Reference.
You can do it on Reference still. You can get the little okay. I was like,
yeah, don't you worry.
Going through and counting up and doing some math.
I can't do that math. That's way above what I'm capable of. So now that's all Baseball Reference, but it was a great night. And when we eventually do that at Lehigh, or I was already thinking about this, like I would love to go back to Reading, frankly, because I think it's such a fun ballpark. When if Aiden's still there and if they bring Arun up and they bring Tait, yeah, we get some of the Threshers up there. Woo! Come on. I'm excited for some Threshers ball. Like, well, it'll be good. Maybe we'll have to make a return trip later this summer when it's not cold and rainy.
Dude, I'm in. We had the best time again. To all the people who came out, especially braving, maybe a strong word, but dealing with that night the way it was. It was cold. It was rainy. It means the world to us. So we can't tell you. Jack and I, again, like we started this podcast when this team stunk and we're winning 60-something games and just buddies who want to talk baseball. So the fact that that so many people like actually show up to anything is we're still humbled by it. So it's thank you to everyone who came. And if you missed out, like it is a blast, minus the rain. The next time there won't be rain, it'll be awesome. All right, you got anything else in the take bag?
Nope.
Let me quickly shout out the Miller Lite account of the week, the Miller Lite bar of the week, Kensington Pub. Shout out to the Kensington Pub. Been there a few times in Kensington where you can watch Phillies games with the $3 Miller Lite pint special. It's a great deal. Go to kensingtonpub.com. All right, Fritzy, Toronto, we get a little bounce back here, you think? We get 2-3. How are we feeling?
Yeah, they're playing some decent baseball up there. It was the site of the comeback of the year last year.
That was the game Schwarber. Of the year last year. It really was. That game was awesome. You know, three homers, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from Abel. Like I can't wait for him, but it's also, I'm sure if teams watch his Pirate start and have maybe a better idea, or maybe he's just awesome. And I hope he's just awesome. So I don't know. Obviously, always 2-3, but definitely I'm still nervous about this team on the road. So I won't get too ahead of myself.
Yeah. And look, the Abel thing, like it's pretty exciting. The potential that's there, you know, if he goes out and deals again and it's like, wow, we got something here, you know, it's pretty cool.
I know. So I can't wait for tomorrow night. Season restarts. You flush this weekend. It looks like they couldn't wait to get out of.
Yeah, you can say that again, dude. Yeah. They did the whole like, we're home. Yay. And it was like, get us out of here.
We got to get to Toronto.
We need to go to another country. All right.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know. Looking forward to it.
All right. 2-3. Hopefully we'll be back after the series. And again, thank you to everyone who came out to Reading. It really was, it meant a lot to us and it was a really cool experience. So, and thank you to the Reading Phils for all they did. Nick, Tanya, everyone over there, just Jake Starr letting us on the broadcast, the true pride of Ruston High School. We really
exactly
appreciate
right.
it. Yeah. Right. You know, we appreciate everyone. It was a really, really neat experience and we'll definitely do it again. All right. Until then, he's heard some seltzer.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.